Praise the Lord. Come on up, Fine Arts team. Those of you that are here today, you guys come on up. Next Sunday, somebody say next Sunday, one of our former Fine Arts students will be here from Atlanta, Georgia. Some of you probably won't remember him. Some of you may have never seen him, but he's a young man that in the days of Raise the Praise was on our drum line, involved in national competition in Orlando, Florida. And this young man has continued to excel in his gifting. And he has YouTube videos out there that are viewed by multiplied thousands and thousands of people. He's got a group now called Charlie Gaines, and he sings and speaks. And he's coming back to Carpenter Shop International Church next Sunday from Atlanta, Georgia. And he's going to talk about how those early days of being involved in fine arts helped mold and shape his life to where he is today. So don't miss that. Come on, young people. Give it up for the fine arts team. Praise God. I think Jalen needs a merit award for having to put up with all these females. Come on, give it up for Jalen. Amen. Man, one little bit of testosterone with all these girls. Having to keep them calm. I bet it was challenging sometime, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we just wanted to thank everyone for helping, for making the trip possible. We had an amazing time at National Fine Arts Festival. Oh. But it was so much more than that. It's one of the largest youth conferences in the world, and we learned what the Assemblies of God are doing for world missions, rescuing children from human trafficking, and we attended great services every night and worship with kids all over the world. We were blessed to see so many talented kids. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody? Nobody else? Come on. Y'all were a noisy bunch of people in Florida, man. Come on. Come on, give it up for our youth, would you? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you so much for participating. And you know, it's an amazing thing when you tap into the possibilities. But here's the sad thing. Somebody say sad thing. Is that there are many, many other young people sitting right here in this church on a regular basis that have not engaged themselves, have not gotten involved, have never had their resources tapped, and have never even given a thought to moving forward. And that's not just a problem in young people. Maybe you misunderstood this young man's invitation this morning. Maybe you misunderstood him. I think I heard him say this: why don't you come and bring your offering? And when you come and bring your offering, instead of rushing back, why don't you find a place, just a moment, to worship the Lord? You know how many of you did that? I saw Pastor Mike remain. Well, he's a preacher. So what I'm saying to you is you too are missing the opportunities. You missed an opportunity right there for divine visitation of the Holy Spirit. Matt, I commend you, man, for following the Holy Ghost. I commend you for stepping out in boldness and saying, why don't you come? If someone in the world, if Garth Brooks can do this for 2 hours, then surely you could come and bring your offering and stand here for a few moments and sing your heart out. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. And how many of you did it? None of you. Come on. Well, I'm the pastor. I can reprimand you. Listen. Listen, if I don't understand authority by now, I might as well quit in the ministry. But I must tell you that you should be ashamed. You should. You should be ashamed. Because when the moment comes and the invitation is given, then, well, you know, I'm just gonna drop my money in and go back and sit down. We live in a world today that if the Christians don't get engaged, then we're gonna be messed up. It's too close for comfort. I wondered why the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and I realized that when I got here today. Too close for comfort. We are living in a world today that is so messed up. So messed up. And I tell you, man, it's mighty easy to go to Orlando this week. We spent the entire week in Florida. And I just was so immensely blessed. Now you can say, listen, you can say, man, the pastor was mad this morning. Pastor ain't got a mad bone in his body this morning. Pastor's disappointed. Because you had a moment that you could have seized that moment. And there's no telling. Eternity will only know what God would have done if for a moment his people were just standing there. We've lost it in Pentecostal churches. What I've seen in America today is we've lost the fine art of waiting on God's presence. Our superintendent, Dr. Doug Clay, stood before a crowd of 18,000 people the other night, and this is what he said. He said, you know, I was on my treadmill. I put this on Facebook one day this week. He said, I was on my treadmill, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, I was praying about general counsel, and here's a man responsible for, you know, 14,000 churches in America. He said, I'm on my treadmill, and I'm just working out a little bit. He just suffered a stroke about 4 months ago that kind of put him on his back for about 6 weeks. And he said, I'm kind of coming back to, you know, getting back engaged in what God was saying to me as a leader of this denomination. And I'm on the treadmill, and he said, I'm listening to an Elevation worship song. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Doug Clay, if you will open up an opportunity for me and allow my presence to come, I will bring miracles. But you got to open up opportunity. So here he is with people probably sitting there saying, well, I want to know what he's going to preach tonight. And he didn't preach. He just called on the worship team to just lead in worship. I'll raise a hallelujah. That's what they started singing. And he said, I want you to just raise a hallelujah. And if you're sick in body, I want you just to get out of your seat and stand in the aisles. And man, in just a moment, you're talking about 18,000 people. Thousands of people were standing in the aisles. And in just a moment, the Shekinah glory of God settled down like a blanket on that crowd. And people were weeping and crying and just seeking God. There was no, you know, there was no no mandate to do a certain thing. People were just seeking God. You know what we've lost in the church today? I'm not just saying Carpenter Shaw. I said a moment ago, shame on you. I still believe that. Shame on you. You missed an opportunity where a young man invited you to come, bring your offering, and instead of going back, just stand in his presence. And you didn't do it. Oh, you didn't do it. So, you know, pastor's getting on me this morning. Yes, he is. He's getting on you. Why? Because I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. And if I can't correct you, then there's a problem. You know what you read the New Testament, you know what that's about? It's about correction. It's about Paul, an apostle, who writes his letters to the church. And when he writes his letters to the church, you know what he does? He brings correction. This is something you shouldn't be doing, or this is something you should be doing. How many of you believe in divine authority? Come on. How many of you believe in that? Then don't receive what I'm saying today wrong. Don't receive it wrong. Receive it in the spirit of love, because that's the way I'm submitting it. Too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. We're living in a world today that is really all messed up. Hear the heart of your pastor today. Hear the heart of your pastor today. Too close for comfort. Revelation chapter 3, the verses are 1 to 6. When you have it, say amen. If you're cheating and looking at it on the board, say amen. Amen. We've made it so easy today. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write these words, he says. These are the words of him. Who's him? Anybody? Jesus. These are the words of Jesus, the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. A star is a messenger. A star is an angel of the Lord. A star is the pastor of the church. Come on. I'm just studying the Bible out loud here, okay? The star is the one who's in charge. You know what? I'm in charge of this church. I'm responsible. I'm responsible. At the end of the day, one day I'm going to stand in front of God Almighty, And I'm going to give an account of the leadership that I provided to this church. And my judgment is harder than yours, okay? My judgment is harsher than yours. Because to whom much is given, much is required, okay? So my judgment's harder than yours. And so he says to the angel here, he says, I know your deeds. I know you have a reputation, watch this now, of being alive. Carpenter Shop Church, that's a Pentecostal church. I know you have a reputation of being alive, but Jesus, the one who says, I'm holding the stars in my hand, I'm holding the pastors in my hand, I'm holding the God-called leaders in my hand, and I'm saying to you, sir, you have a reputation that you're alive, but really you're dead. So he says in verse number 2, wake up. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. That's getting weak, okay? For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, verse 3, therefore what you've received, what you've heard, hold it fast. And this is what he calls upon this leader to do. Repent. Some of you should have already said, Father, forgive me. I should have followed the movement of your spirit today. And then somebody might say, well, I can tell you what, you can tell me what to do. I don't have to go up there. I can worship in my seat. Yeah, you can. But when you're given a divine invitation, led by the Holy Spirit, he says, listen, what you need to do is repent. But if you don't wake up, I'm telling you, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I'll come to you. 2 nights before Christmas, 1983, I had a thief come to my house. All the Christmas presents were wrapped under the tree. Pastor Joy and I both were working retail jobs. She was working in Shoe Show of Edenton, North Carolina. I was the manager of Hofheimer's Shoes in Elizabeth City, Southgate Mall. And we worked every night because it was Christmas time. Every night we were gone. And somebody noticed that in our house, we were never home. That's why they said, Pastor didn't put a whole lot of pictures on Facebook this week. Now I've gotten so I don't tell the world my business. Because you know what? You go out of town, you tell everybody you're not home. Okay? So you can spend all your time smiling at the camera 700 miles away from home if you want to. You're telling the whole world, he's not home. I guess it'd be a good time to get us a nice TV, you know, or something like that. So I usually wait till the end of the journey before I post any pictures. You know, I've had people say, you don't put much on Facebook anymore. No, because the world don't need to know your business. Okay? And I got a nice burglar alarm system. His name's Bogey. And he was home all week. And someone was at my house all week long. But still, okay? He said, I will come like a thief. 2 nights before Christmas, 1983. Pastor Joy and I both working retail jobs. Thieves backed up 3 vehicles to our house and stole everything we owned. Everything. All the Christmas presents. All the Christmas presents that were wrapped. Everything. All of our Christmas shopping. Everything. They stole our clothes. They stole my guns. They stole everything. Man, I had a nice Remington 1100 gas-operated gun. 30-inch full choke. 3-inch magnum. Had a nice gun. But guess what? I've never seen it again. They stole all my guns. They stole everything in the house. They came like a what? Like a thief. Jesus says here in this passage, I'm telling you, church, he said, I'm coming one day, and I'm coming like a thief. You won't know what time I'm coming. I can tell you by the gauge of where we are in the grand scheme of things, we're closer than we've ever been. Closer than we've ever been. Just sang it a few minutes ago. Yes. I'm washed. Now you need to be washed. Why? Because you're closer than you've ever been. So you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He says, when I come, I'm going to come like a thief. But he said, if you don't wake up, I come like a thief. You'll not know what time I'll come to you. Verse 4, yet you have a few people. You always got a remnant. You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes, who have not fallen asleep at the wheel, who have not just dishonored me and gone their own way. You got a few people. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. And to the one who's victorious, verse number 5, will like them be dressed in white. I'll never blot that name of the person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Man, I found myself in recent days just consistently thinking about the grand scheme of things, the world as we see it today, about the events that are taking place in our nation every hour of the news. And what I've chosen to do is what I hope some of you have chosen to do. I've chosen to kind of back away. I don't think I've seen a broadcast of CNN or Fox News in probably 6 or 7 months, not even 2 seconds. I don't pay attention to them. So when I want to know the news, I'm very selective at who I allow to tell me what's going on in the world. Some of you are saying, well, you know, I still trust Sean Hannity. Look, trust who you want to trust, okay? I still trust a few of them out there too. But I can tell you the news has an agenda. And their agenda right now is to shift the whole COVID thing into high gear and come right back around with a second dose, and they call it the Delta, okay? The Delta variant. They're coming back around now for a second dose, and we're heading back toward lockdowns again. And they're releasing out a spirit of fear all over again. Okay? Well, I don't like when the pastor talks about that stuff. I'm sorry, okay? I'm just going to tell you the truth, okay? The media has done a tremendous job releasing the spirit of fear. I had people say to me last week, oh, you're going down to Florida. That's where it's really bad, man. They got COVID down there like you wouldn't believe. Okay? Let me tell you, I was in Florida all week long, and it wasn't COVID that I had on my mind. It wasn't being, you know, making sure you're doing everything right. And their governor's criticized because he's saying, you know what, you know, President Biden, I'm not shutting Florida down, okay? We're going to live in this state. We're going to live in this state. And we're not shutting our state down all over again. Well, I don't know if I believe, I don't know if I agree with that or not. And I'm not politically speaking positive for anybody, okay? I'm just saying this is the fact. You and I are not in a position where we need to posture ourselves for fear round two. Okay? We're too close here. We're living too close to the coming of the Lord Jesus to start playing around with all everybody's little policies and everybody's little rules and regulations. In fact, I want to tell you something. Just a year and a half ago, just a year and a half ago, every headline of the paper, every breaking post on social media was all about this pandemic. What is a pandemic? Well, let's look at the word. What does pandemic mean? Pandemic. Pan means what? All, okay? Demic, demos, the original word, means people. So it includes what? All the people, okay? And in fact, there's only 5 countries as of July 31st, 2021. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is fact. There's only 5 countries. You've probably never heard of any of them, okay? In the Pacific Islands, 5 countries of the world that can say, in our country, we've never had a single case of COVID-19, 5 countries in the world that never had it. Still to this day, according up until July 31st, no COVID. May say, I want to move there. No. 5 countries of the world, no COVID. Okay? And it's unbelievable how this little thing that began in China could just be released out over the entire world. And the whole world received that. It seems like we would have enough calamity and enough confusion in the world that would have brought on what I truly believe is the only answer for this nation, and that is divine repentance. Amen. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I would hear from heaven, I would forgive their sin, and I would do what? Heal their land. You would think, you know, you would think that such an ordeal, such a pandemic, such an amazing thing that would hit all the people would just bring repentance. But you know what it brings? Confusion. It brings confusion. It brings animosity. People argue about, well, you know, you ain't got a mask on. And what's it brought to the church? The same thing, confusion, arguing. I sat with a person locally here just a week or so ago before I left for Florida. I said, I just knew her. You know, I knew her as a sister in Christ. We worked together when we brought David Jeremiah, Dr. David Jeremiah, to Husky several years ago. I worked with her on that production and that outreach. I said, well, how are you doing? She said, sick and tired. I said, sick and tired of what? So tired of having church in the parking lot. I'm so sick of it. I'm ready to get back in the building. So you see what it's brought? It's brought confusion. The devil's sitting back in the corner laughing at the church. He is. He's laughing at the church because he's got the sheep scattered and divided. He's got the sheep scattered and divided. Not together and united. He's got a bunch of them sitting home that will never return to the church. Because they got out of the habit and they just said, well, you know, it's just better to stay home. And it's better that he make you look like an idiot. Because I've bumped into people and said, hey, man, how are you doing? Pastor Joy and I bumped into some people. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And, well, we're doing fine. Pastor, we don't go nowhere. We just stay home all the time. And I was like, wait a minute, okay. You're standing in the middle of Lowe's Distribution Center. Why are you going to make such a foolish statement like that? You do go out because you're out right now talking to me. We don't go nowhere. Oh, wow. So you mean I'm talking to your spirit here? And your body's really home? So COVID makes people look stupid. I don't get it. COVID makes people do silly things, stupid things. And it's brought confusion even to the church. We've not been able to escape that. It makes us look dumb. We're going to sit out in the parking lot. And we're gonna listen to a signal for a year and a half. And we won't go back in the building. And the whole time the Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even the more as you see the day, capital D, approaching. In other words, God said, the closer we get to my return of the Lord Jesus, then all the more should you take opportunity to assemble yourselves together in my name. It's made us look stupid. COVID's made us look stupid. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us assemble. Let us follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This whole pandemic has drained our society, stripped us of everything we've known as normal, and it's worldwide. And the Lord's spirit is injured. Man, we have our quota of trials on this earth, don't we? I was thinking about the other day some of the things that I remember happening. I remember back in August, I think it was 2017, Texas, Houston. The Gulf Coast ravaged by this storm that was called Hurricane Harvey that cost the U.S. $200 billion. It was recorded and documented that 1 million automobiles completely destroyed by flood. 1 million automobiles completely covered by floodwaters. It was Florida hit the same time by a storm named what? Irma. 2017, the entire state was affected in some way. And the state that produces more oranges than any other nation in the world historically now has on their record, 2017 was the lowest level of orange production that Florida has ever known, with the largest number of orchards. The lowest number of orange production. Why? Because of the hurricane. California wildfires, 2019. California wildfires resulted in 7,000 fire incidents. Already in 21, I looked it up just this week, already in 2021, over 6,000 fires have been reported as starting in the state of California already from January to August in 2021. Just under 1 million acres of land destroyed by fire in California. It never rains in California, but girl, don't they warn you. It doesn't rain much in California, and guess what? We have a lot of fires in California. Thousands and thousands and thousands of acres destroyed, lives lost. And it's not just fires in the physical, it's fires in the political, it's fires in the social, it's fires in the spiritual, killings and shootings and stabbings, where every night, if you listen to your local news, even Hampton tonight, in Newport News this afternoon, in Ahoskie this week, it's getting too close to home, too close for what? Comfort. Don't get comfortable, church. It's time for the church to get uncomfortable with what's happening in this earth today and get on our knees and bring and ask God to bring true revival to us. And if we go through series of moments where we're invited by someone to come and get into his presence, and we miss those, guess what we're missing? An opportunity for God to show up. We're missing those opportunities for God to show up and strengthen the church. Amen? We're missing those opportunities. Our nation is hurt severely by natural disasters. Allowed by God, he's in control. Who's steadily knocking on the doors of this nation, calling out for divine repentance. Meanwhile, the prophetic clock just ticks and ticks and ticks, moving us closer and closer to the return of Christ. Then we'll begin the most difficult times the earth has ever known. When Christ returns, then what does that signal? The beginning of the tribulation. 7 years of hell on earth. 7 years of the absence of God's people on the earth. Too close for comfort. I want you to look at verse number one of this passage. Verse number one. We're just too close to the return of Christ to become so comfortable with life and living and forget that we are called to be, in fact, the salt of the earth, the light on the hill. Verse number one, he says, listen, to the angel of the church in Sardis, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God. Man, that's complicated. Holds the seven spirits of God? What is that? Isaiah prophesied it. He told us what it was. The seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He speaks to seven literal churches in his communication in the book of Revelation when John was exiled to the island of Patmos. And he comes out of that place of capture as a prisoner. And they say, hey, welcome to Patmos, John. And John receives a download of the Holy Ghost, a download of God's presence, a download that ends up to be the book of Revelation. A download supernaturally. And he says that in verse 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God. He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation that you're alive, but really, you're not alive. You're dead. John's writing this because he's been captured. He's writing this because he's been imprisoned. Because of why? Because of his witness, because of his testimony. He's on the island, this rocky, barren island, about 4 miles long, 5 or 6 miles wide. Tradition says they threw him into a pot of boiling oil. Fox's Book of Martyrs, a book I bought in an airport one day and read it on my flight to Israel. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells the story of how the apostles lost their lives. John boiled in a pot of oil like he's a piece of chicken. A human being thrown in a pot. He survived it, and he's given this amazing unveiling revelation to reveal, to pull the curtain back, and for God Almighty to allow this man who suffered for the cause of Christ to see those things that will come in the future. Revelation, a book we shouldn't be afraid of. Oftentimes we're scared to read it because we don't understand it. Well, you can understand it. I'm helping you understand some of it this morning. These are messages to churches of things which are to come. And he's instructed by Christ to write to seven literal churches, just like carpenter shops, seven that are chosen among the many that were established since the inception of what we know as missions that started out in the church at Antioch. Acts chapter what? 13. It started out in Acts chapter 13 where they laid their hands on Saul and Barnabas and said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to them and said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work to which I've called you. And they laid hands on them and released those guys out into the very first mission trip. And they took three journeys. And they established churches, raised up pastors, trained leaders, apostolic ministry. And then they write back letters of correction. Why didn't you come to the altar? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? They write letters of correction, things that you should have got right that you didn't. Don't do that next time, he says. Letters of correction that we enjoy every day of our life. What do we call it? The New Testament, okay? The New Testament. And here John addresses this Sardis pastor. He tells the pastor that the words that he's sharing are not his words. That wasn't your idea this morning. Wasn't your idea. It was something that as you worship the Lord, I saw it happening inside of you. Matt was just worshiping the Lord, and I said, he's going to say something. I could see it on his face. I said, man, Matt's got something he wants to say. And so he moved to the microphone and said it. Not his words. Holy Ghost words. Not his direction. Holy Ghost direction. I would just ask you guys to come. Not his idea. And so here's the words, not of the leader himself, but the words that the Lord gave the leader, okay? He tells the pastor that the words that he's sharing are not his words, but the words of the one who possesses seven spirits of God. Man, that's a mouthful. What is that, pastor? Well, it's actually a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11. I think it's in the verses 2 to 5, somewhere in there, first part of the chapter 11, where God says through the prophet Isaiah that the Lord possesses the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is divine respect and trust. He said he encompasses all of these things. Don't miss this. He said the Lord Jesus encompasses the totality of God's presence and power, the totality of God's character. In fact, he told the church at Colossae, he said, all the fullness of the Godhead. Check this out. Don't miss this. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form in the man, Christ Jesus. Where does that say that in Colossians? Colossians. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. All the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is embodied in this man, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of discernment, Spirit of everything about God is wrapped up in the man Christ Jesus. That's why he's who he is. He wasn't flawed by human flaw. He wasn't born of just a family over there in Bethlehem somewhere. He was born of the Holy Spirit. So he was without error. The virgin birth. He's the one, John says, who's walking in the midst of the church. He's the one who has divine authority to speak to the church and tell the church where she missed it. Speak to the church and tell the church where she needs to sharpen up. He knows the church. He died for the church. He arose for the church. Now he's interceding for the church. And he says to this church, I know your deeds. I know your behavior. I know your reactions. I know your reputation that you're alive, but really you're dead. Can I just tell you, in America today, that every state of this union today, in at least a three-hour period between each other, on the east, 11 o'clock, on the west, it's 8 o'clock. But time will catch up, and at the 10 o'clock, 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock, most churches will meet. They'll get up and they'll come, and there's a sign in their yard that says, Carpenter Shop International Church. It says we're a church. It says that inside are the living followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who believe that you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It says that we believe that we're people of miracles. It says that we believe we're people who operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It says that we believe that even the dead can be raised to life again. It says all kinds of things, just stating that we're a what? A church. But in so many cases, people will gather in buildings today and they'll fold their arms and look at you like a cow looking at a new gate. And then they'll look at their watch. He's almost done. Like some agony you got to go through as a ritual on Sunday morning. What'd you do today? Well, I went to church. Have a good service? Yeah, it was all right. When are we going to experience? I just have a question. When are we going to experience? Man, go back to work on Monday morning. Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, son, what a weekend. What a weekend. What are you talking about? Man, we went to service on Sunday morning. I've never seen the power of God operative like that in my entire life. We had a young man stand up out of a wheelchair who's never walked a step in 40 years. We had a young lady who could not see. And all of a sudden, after 40 years or 45 years, she said, I see. Had a testimony the other night, Pastor Mike, in our meeting where four or five little Royal Rangers, remember that, Pastor Joy? The pastor started just empowering people in the church to pray. And a lady who was 90 years old and was totally blind. 90 years old, totally blind, never had seen in her life. And the Royal Rangers, the five little Royal Ranger boys, gathered around this woman and laid hands on her. And at the end of the service, the lady stood up and asked for a microphone, and she began to get very emotional. And she said, for the first time in my entire life, I don't know what all this means, but she said, for the first time in my entire life, I can see. Amen. Five little boys, not with reverend in front of their name, not with oil in their hand, nothing, just five little boys, anointed this lady with the Spirit of God, and they just all prayed that she would see, and guess what? She saw. And she never had seen in 90 years of living. She'd never seen it. She said, now I know what letters are. She said, I don't know what they mean. I don't have a clue what it says, but I can see the letters on the screen. And they said just the Holy Spirit just fell in there, man, and just revival hit that church. That kind of stuff happens once in a while. That should be the norm. Amen. That should be the norm. We shouldn't be worried about a virus. Amen? We shouldn't be worried about these kinds of things that, oh, I guess I don't need to go nowhere. Oh, go ahead. Stay home. Lock yourself. Insulate yourself. Isolate yourself so that you can't be about the Father's business. The devil's just over in the corner clapping. Wow, I got another one scared to death. No. Get out into the world and speak life and peace and blessing and provision and favor. You know, God has amazing, amazing miracles ready to happen. And you know what? It's not always just a prayer meeting and a divine touch. Sometimes it's a doctor involved. Amen? Look at Aubrey Morris, man, who listen, everything in the world said he's probably not going to live very long. And today, because of the ability of a physician on this earth, had the ability to deal with his issue, God-given talent and skill and ability and divine touch, he's now has a life that's been extended. Come on, somebody. Extended. Not a death right here, but a life extended. Amen? One of our brothers texted me this morning, Robert Hurdle. He's listening right now. He listens to us every week because he can't walk. Okay? He said he'd been asking everybody, man, to pray for him. Please pray for me. I'm facing surgery on September the 2nd. Please pray for me. Would you please pray for me at your church today? And this is what the person told him, no names called. She said, well, yeah, I'll share it with the church, but they're not going to pray for you till Wednesday. Wednesday's the day we pray. Okay? Well, Robert, in the name of Jesus, right now, where you're at your home in Orlando, Millennium, we just agree together right now, Lord, all of these people, you said in your word, if any two shall agree touching any one thing, that it shall be done. So we just curse that ability to not walk right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the success of that surgery in Jesus' strong name right now, Lord. Touch his body, God. Heal him in the name of Jesus. Heal him in the name of Jesus. We don't have to wait till Wednesday to pray. We pray this Sunday morning alive and alive. And Lord, we unite our faith with hundreds and thousands of people online here who will touch and agree that Robert Hurdle be healed in the name of Jesus. And that surgery, even if it's necessary, will be successful. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise. Amen. Well, we'll pray for you. Our church will pray for you, but it won't be till Wednesday. Man, that's encouraging, isn't it? You know what happens to me a lot of times? I'm in the grocery store or something. Somebody says, hey, Pastor Wallace, would you pray for me? Remember me in prayer? I said, no, I won't remember you in prayer. But right now, come here, right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to do this now because chances are with my feeble brain, I might forget you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right here in Walmart today, Lord, I just believe you and declare whatever it is we're praying for. Listen, it's time the church be the church. It's time the church be the salt and the light that she's called to be. It's time we get up off of our blessed assurance and be life to people who are living in death. We're called to be the church. I was so blessed this past week to hear among 18,000 people our leaders say, the Lord said if I would make place for his presence, miracles would come. So I'm not going to preach tonight. And he just allowed the Holy Ghost to move. And man, it was so thick in there you could cut it with a knife. And just when you thought it was going to calm down, Can you imagine what it's like to hear about 15,000 people praying in tongues? Come on, can you imagine what that's like with me for a moment? When you think it's going to get quiet, then another wave of Holy Ghost just moving across the building. I was powerfully blessed. People were just amazed at what God was doing. Amazed at what God was doing. We have to understand here, the Lord knows us. Verse number 2, he says, because I do know you, I'm asking you. And he's asking you as a Christian today. He's asking you that are watching us online. He's asking you, church, would you please wake up? Would you please wake up? Wake up and strengthen what is in you that remains and is near death. For I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee, man. Come on. Wake up and just believe that you are alive right now. And because you are alive right now, God has discovered purpose and value in your life. And he's not called you just to come and sit under preaching and just walk away unchanged. He's called you to be different. He's called you to be courageous. He's called you to be tenacious with your faith and reach out and touch people. Come on. Live your life as an agent, being willing to be used by God, an agent of the Holy Ghost. In other words, this church was not fulfilling their divine mission. And the Lord of the church, the star here, says to them, listen, strengthen what's there, and if you're not careful, it's about to die. So strengthen it. In the name of Jesus, strengthen it. Wake up. Amen? God, listen, God wants to do Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. That's what God wants to do. And we've been sucker punched by the devil to believe that we're Christians. We go to church on Sunday and we listen to the pastor and he just inspires us so we can live our life and make heaven our home. Listen, there's more to it than that. I want you to go to heaven, but I want you to be used by God while you're here on this earth, empowered by the Holy Ghost to see people's lives blessed, to see people changed, to see chains broken. That's why you're here. Well, I thought that was the work of the pastor. No, my work is to inspire you. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to prepare God's people for works of service. Amen? You ought to be the one getting up. Lord, give me a word today. Lord, as I go to work, some of you just get up and go to work because you're just walking in the curse. It's a curse. Adam's going to earn his living at the sweat of his brow. So you just walk in and punch in, well, I'm here to do the curse. And they'll pay me on Friday. And you don't accomplish anything for the kingdom all week long. All you're doing is working for the company. So you can get your check, buy your groceries, make your house payment, and you feel like you've accomplished something. If that's what your life is like, you know what you are? You're a hamster on the wheel. And you're just going around and around and around. And for the kingdom's sake, you're not accomplishing a doggone thing. Wow. Pastor's cranked up. Well, usually when you get a week off, you usually get a download from the Holy Ghost, okay? Well, I thought you were down there playing in Disney World with Mickey Mouse and his girlfriend Minnie. Nope. I'm not giving them $150 to walk around with a mask wishing I could get on something in less than 2 hours. Okay? No, I'm not doing that, okay? Listen, the church needs to get up off of her behind and be the church. We're too close for comfort here. We need to be busy. We need to be busy. I had a divine dream last night. I didn't even tell my wife about it. I had a dream, and it was a bad dream. I had a dream of failure. Somebody failed. And I woke up and I thought, God, what is this all about? And I just laid before the Lord for just a few minutes. She didn't sleep at all last night, none. She didn't sleep at all. Pastor Joy stayed awake the entire night. And what were you doing? And she started giving me, well, the Holy Spirit spoke this person to my spirit and then this person. And she stayed up all night long praying. When I say all night long, how much sleep are you talking about? None. She didn't go to sleep. I didn't sleep at all last night. You heard that song? That was Pastor Joy last night. She didn't sleep because she bore the burden of the Holy Spirit dropping names in her spirit. While I'm over there on a CPAP life machine, just going to sleep. But when I was asleep, I dreamed. And I did not like what I dreamed. It was a judgment dream. And I'm trying to download that, Pastor Mike. I'm trying to download that and assess it and evaluate it. Because I don't dream like that very often. But I had a very vivid dream of God's judgment. I said, Lord, what are you trying to say here? I'm trying to process this all. And I went back and forth in my spirit, maybe saying this, maybe saying that. And I'm confident I'll get clarity. I'll get clarity because I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, you got my attention now. What are you trying to say, okay? What are you trying to say? Because I could write the dream down word for word just as clear as watching a channel, just like a Netflix. And it wasn't good. Maybe he's saying to me, wake up, okay? Wake up. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I've not found your deeds, but I've found your deeds unfinished. Okay? Just listen, let me just tell you something. Everything the pastor preaches gets to his own heart first. Okay? Well, he sure got on us. Well, he sure got on me, okay? Okay, it has to come to me first. Okay? So I get it first. And then I pass it along to you. Unless I'm scared. But guess what? I ain't scared, okay? I'm not scared. What I'm scared of is standing before God and he not being able to say, well done. Okay? That's the only thing that bothers me. I want to make sure I do well. I want to make sure I do well. We have to understand this. Jesus said, I'm coming like a thief. Verse 4, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. There's people in this church that I know because I know because I know have a deep-rooted prayer life. I know that. I know that they call Pastor Joy and I's name and our kids and our grandkids every day. They're standing in the gap for us. Intercessors. Divine intercessors who stand in the gap, make up the hedge. He says there are people like this who haven't soiled their clothes. They're not falling asleep at the wheel. They're not being lulled by this society just to kind of do the church thing and then go home. No, they're serious about this walk with God. Verse number 5, he says, the one who's victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. And I'll never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. John tells them that there's an eternal reward for those who get it right. See, we got this, we've been kind of hit with this old crazy theology that you, as a kid, you come down the aisle and you shake the preacher's hand, you gave your heart to Jesus, and he just writes your name in the Lamb's book of life forever. There's nothing you can do, man. You can just go live like you want to, but you thank God when you were 12, you prayed the sinner's prayer. In case you wonder, that's not my theological perspective. Okay? Once saved, always saved. No, this is a relationship. And the last time I looked, relationships can be walked into or walked out from. Okay? So you got to keep your relationship with God intact. Do you believe in eternal security? Yes, I do, as long as you stay eternally secure. Okay? I do. And see, that if you go, listen, I'm not a nitwit. I'm an educated man. I know, I've studied the history of all this stuff. If you roll back the scroll way, way back, roll the videotape back. We have Baptists, we have Methodists. We have Baptists that are a large group of people who followed the teachings of John Calvin, the tulip theory, and they, oh, you just listen. You just, once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, man, it's a done deal. The teachings of John Calvin, and the pendulum swings all the way over back and forth to the right to a man named Jacob Arminius. He was important in shaping Methodist doctrine. John Wesley, who said, nah, you gotta have some balance here, man. God has given man what we call free will. And so that's how we ended up with Methodism. Free will comes in. So I don't care what John Calvin, his cat, said, you got free will. So you got the struggle between just theology that says, you know, it's just this, you don't even want to serve the Lord, but you're going to be saved. Irresistible grace. You don't even want to serve the Lord, but you're one of his elect, so you're going to heaven whether you want to or not. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Jacob Arminius swings back and says, no. You got free will here. And so the Methodist church comes on the scene. And then where did we come from? Where did the Pentecostals come from? We came out of the Methodist church. We came out of Methodism. John Wesley, the one who said, man, he'd roll over in his grave now if he knew what the Methodist church was going through. They're trying to decide whether or not you can pastor a church and be gay or not. Our own church here in Ahoskie United Methodist Church, closing down, closed already. And you know what the downfall of the church was? Pastor married two men. And so you got a bunch of people severely hurt in their heart because they've been a part of this great Ahoskie. Man, some of my greatest friends pastored the Ahoskie Methodist Church. Dr. Ken Hall, man, a man of God, a man who loved God with all of his heart, still does. I keep up with him all the time. He can't hear well. He's aged now. He can't hear well, so we just email. But he's encouraging me all the time. He pastored that church. He had oil on his shelf. He anointed the sick, believed God for healing. Dr. Ken Hall, a godly man. It breaks his heart today that the Ahoskie Methodist Church is closed. He spent 8 years of his life laboring for the kingdom right here in this church, Ahoskie Methodist. But the Methodists are taking a beating all across the country because they're arguing about character things that God's already placed his feelings about. So sad. Presbyterian Church down the street just a little bit further, closing down. Closing down. Is the church asleep or what? Wake up! Strengthen the things that remain. You can say, well, I'm so glad our church is on fire. It's not on fire. Amen. Don't you go slapping yourself on the back. This church is not on fire. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm the pastor. It's not on fire. And it never will be unless you seize opportunities like you were given today. Hello? Can I just say something to you that you might need to hear once in a while? I love you, okay? I do. I really do. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth, okay? Don't you slap yourself on the back and say, we go to Cobner's shop. What's that all about, okay? Don't you get all haughty and proud. Listen, I thank God for this church, man. It has come from I walked in here with 12 people in 1992. So I'm thanking God for what he's done here, but I'm very, very, very disturbed that this place isn't packed to the gills with people in the balcony wishing they could get just a couple of more people in the seats. And they would be if you'd do your job. They would be if you would make sure that when you left your house in the morning to go to work that you took out your divine mission and took it with you. And said, God, I'm going to be used today any way you see fit. And you looked at your job as a means where you could accomplish your divine call to be a minister of the gospel at New Corps or the school system or the doctor's office or wherever it is he has placed you. God, help us. And we got this crazy mentality that it's the preacher that builds the church. Okay? Preacher don't build the church. Number one, Jesus builds it, and he said, I'll build it, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But how does he build it? He builds it through the people who are prepared by the gifts to the church. He gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might experience a continual building up so that they're not out there in the world tossed about by every crazy teaching and the cunning and craftiness of the devil. He's called you to sit under a pastor's ministry so that you can become mature. God, give us mature people, not a bunch of babies. Not a bunch of babies. Churches split over carpet color. Churches split over, we wanted bricks and they built it out of sticks. Churches split over the craziest things. Had pastors call me this week, hey, did you hear such and such a church split? I said, yeah, I heard about it. Churches in this community this past week split right down the middle. This group going this way, this group going the other way. Why? Because the devil has got in the mix. Okay? And, you know, you ever notice when a church splits, they go name themselves something like new something, chosen, even going out the door, they're waving their flag of disapproval on the other guys. Can I just say this? God has never ordained a church split. We do multiplication, not division. That's why there's an upper room in Gatesville. He preached here last Sunday. A prisoner that two of my board members said, Pastor, we love you, but have you lost your mind? One of my board members said that to me when I said, I believe God is raising up Eric Earhart to be the pastor of a church that we're going to plant. Pastor, we love you, but have you lost your mind? I said, no. Paul was a prisoner, okay? Okay. We need to wake up. We need revival. That's what we need. We need revival. If we truly had revival, then you wouldn't see whole pews in this building with not a set of cheeks sitting on them. That's your behind end. Cheeks, okay? Whole seats empty. Two-thirds, half pews empty. Why? Because you are not a revived people. I just have to tell you the truth. Just have to tell you the truth. You know what I want? I want revival. I want salvation for the lost. I want deliverance for the bound. I want people who were on crack to be off of crack. I want people's families changed. I want bodies healed. I want miracles to happen. And they'll never happen unless the church wakes up. Wake up. Wake up. And receive what the Holy Ghost has for you. Wake up. Because this world is in a mess. An absolute mess. And there's never going to be any change until we're willing to come to the Lord and say, God, I just need to repent of just half-heartedness, lukewarmness, just going through the motions. Come on, man. Too close for comfort. Too close to the coming of the Lord Jesus just to get comfortable and say, well, thank God I'm going to heaven. Okay? Thank God I'm going to heaven. I'm glad you're going to heaven. But the question is, who are you dragging with you? Who are you taking with you? Some of your neighbors, you don't even know their names. Some of your family members, you've never been honest with them about where they are with God. Amen? Verse 4, yet you have a few people. It says, they'll walk with me. They haven't soiled their clothes. You know what Sardis was known for? Sardis was a city known for manufacturing and dyeing cloth and fabrics. So he says, there are some of you that haven't stained your garments, okay? So he tells them in a way that they'll understand. Verse 5, the one who's victorious will be dressed in white, and I'm never going to blot their name out. Verse 6, whoever has ears, let him hear. Listen, if I've offended you this morning as our worship team comes back, if I've offended you in any way, I'm not sorry, okay? I'm not. Because I hope you would get offended in your spirit. Offended in a positive way to say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need. I'm too much like a machine. I'm predictable. I just go to church and go home, and I'll try to get here next Sunday if I can. We're in the routine rut, absolutely. And it's become too much of a habit for us. And we got a good church, man. Blacks and whites. Don't get too proud of that either. Yeah, you are unique. You're very unique. Because there's not too many places east of 95 that has the diversity that this house does. But unless you set it up on the shelf like a trophy. You know what I was praying for this week? I was praying for drug addicts in a hospital. And I was just seeing, you know, drug addicts come. I'm talking about nasty people, dirty people, people that look like they didn't have nothing to wear to church. I pray that we would start receiving people who are brought, because they're not coming. I don't care how nice your church is. They're not coming in here. They will never come unless you bring them. Never. They ain't coming in here. Why are they going to waste their time coming in here when they could be home drinking? Okay, they're not coming unless you bring them. And you're not going to bring them unless at first your heart is broken for what breaks God's heart. You're not going to bring them because it's too much trouble. How many of you ever dealt with an addict? They'll run you crazy, man. They'll run you crazy. You don't want to have to go by and pick them up. But would you, if it would make sure that they wouldn't go to hell, would you pick them up? Would you let them mess up your car seats? Okay. Would you let them smell up your car if it kept them out of hell? Amen. Evidently, the Holy Ghost is moving on Jonathan here. Praise the Lord, Jonathan. I love your heart, man. You didn't even get an invitation, and here you are. Man, I'd love to see the day that you stand up and stretch your arms out. Thank you, Lord, for Jonathan's heart. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Holy Spirit above Jonathan. Jesus. Come on, I'm going to give you a second invitation. This is the same thing Matt asked you. How many of you would just come and just stand in his presence this morning? Just no, raise your hand if you think you're going to hell. Just come and stand in his presence and let the Holy Spirit just invade your heart for just a few moments. Just let the Holy Spirit invade your heart. Sheep on the moon. Hallelujah. Hey, talk to this fine arts team. They know what it's like to stand in front of upon a few thousand people full of the Holy Ghost. It'll empower you. It'll take your heart to a different place. Brother Scott, come, man. Let me pray for you this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, pray for one another, man. Pray for one another. Lay hands on each other. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the strong name of Jesus of Nazareth, God, I just thank you for Scott Wolf and Carolyn. I pray, Lord, that you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, would just touch my brother today, God. I pray, Father, that you would just touch his body right now from the top of his head, Lord God, to the soles of his feet. I curse every cancer cell in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, God, for what doctors, the very best of doctors at Duke University, have done for this man. And Lord, I don't discount that at all. I thank you for it, Lord. Right place, right time, right thing, surgery. But God, I'm asking you to do a repair job in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, God, I thank you for complete and total healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm just asking you, God, to remove something out of Scott's life. In the name of Jesus. Those guilty feelings, God, those feelings, Lord, what did I do to get this? I hear the Lord say, Scott, you haven't done a thing. I love you with an everlasting love. I redeemed you. I set your foot on the rock. I've called you to be different, says the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, just come on peace. And the peace of God. The peace of God is flooding my brother's heart. Worship him. Worship him. Some of you need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, come on, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, come on. Hallelujah. Mighty and strong, God. We ask you for repent of complacency. We repent of spiritual laziness today. God, we just ask you to raise us up strong, vibrant, tenacious, powerful, effective. Let us get washed afresh and anew in your blood. Let us receive divine commission, God, from you to go ye into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Creatures that work with us every week. Creatures that live beside us in our neighborhoods. Creatures that bump into us when we're shopping, when we're having fun. Father, let us always have a word on our tongue for the reason, for the hope that is within us. In Jesus' name, God, as a spiritual leader of this house, I ask you, God, to bathe me afresh and anew in your spirit today. Let me be empowered, God, like never before, to inspire your people, to encourage them, to build them up, God, in their faith. In Jesus' strong name. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah.